Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the Philippines rejects Canada's timeline for taking back tons of garbage.
What President Duterte is trying to score political points with this by showing up a Western country.
Andrew Scheer insists he won't reopen the debate on abortion.
As I've said many, many times before, the Conservative government will not reopen this debate. I've been very clear on this.
And U.S. Vice President Mike Pence is coming to Ottawa.
It's important for Canadians to remember that Vice President Pence has been a strong and effective supporter of free trade. And he has been someone who has spoken out in the United States about the value of NAFTA for both Canadians and Americans.
It's Friday, May the 24th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald, Dan Legere. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Mark.
Here we are talking about garbage again on a political podcast. This is quite a story, the fact that Canada said 2 days ago, we're going to pick up the garbage, we're going to bring it back to Canada by the end of June, and now the Philippines is saying, nope, that's we don't like those terms, and we're going to ship it back to you ourselves and stick you with the bill. So this is still far from being resolved in a satisfactory fashion.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like something that should be irritating, two sovereign states that are large and fairly powerful countries like Canada and the Philippines. And it also suggests, though, I think, a longer-term deterioration in the relationships between the two countries. Because after all, you know, Canada and the Philippines have had excellent relations for generations. And, there's a big Filipino community, an important community in Canada. And, but a lot of this is this populist rhetoric and politics that we're seeing in so many places around the world, including the United States, where these populistic gestures are there in place of actual public policy. And I think this is what President Duterte is trying to score political points with this by showing up a Western country. And, it's going to get settled. It's a few containers, not even a quarter or a tenth of a ship of these contaminated containers. And the real shame is that they can't find the original company, or they can't hold responsible
right.
The original company that got us in all this trouble.
Yeah, but as you say, this feels a lot more like posturing for the domestic audience than some genuine international incident. Obviously, the president of the Philippines feels like if I show strength and if I tell those Canadians what we're going to do with their garbage, that plays well at home.
Oh, yeah. And I think this is the Philippines is a rapidly developing country. It is asserting its influence in that part of the world. It's got a lot going for it. And, so there's this new aggressive, or not new really, but an aggressive regime in the Philippines that is pushing these sort of things ahead. But don't forget, this is the president who brags about shooting drug dealers and having murdered people himself and lots of crazy things that would seem totally outrageous if the rest of the world didn't have things in it like Donald Trump and Brexit to make the whole world's politics seem absurd every day.
While we're talking about international relations, let's discuss China and Canada. A Chinese official said the relationship is at a pretty low level. There are other Chinese officials who have said the next move is Canada's to try to resolve this ongoing dispute. Where do you think things stand, and where do they go from here?
Well, this is a much more intractable problem than loading some dirty containers on a ship.
Yeah.
This is deeply problematic for the Canadian government because the Chinese are demanding that the legal process that's been started in the case of Meng Wanzhou, the Huawei executive and heiress who's been sort of under house arrest in Vancouver, I think since December. So, I mean, they're demanding that Canada abandon a long-held legal practice, dealing with an extradition request from the United States and treat it as a purely political thing. No Canadian government can really abandon a legal process and adopt pure politics just to placate a powerful foreign country. So, you know, it's really stuck. And the Chinese are obviously saying, well, we're not doing anything to fix the situation. You have to do everything. And again, this is, you know, trying to show up Canada, trying to score political points, and also trying to avoid the process of dealing with the Americans on the legal level and trying to keep it all political. It's a really, really tough and intractable situation for the Canadian government.
All right, let's turn to domestic issues. And in an election year, when you've got the Conservatives ahead in the polls, it's inevitable, of course, that questions are going to be asked about what issues might be brought forward if they form a government. Andrew Scheer has been asked in the past about his personal views about issues like abortion, and he has said recently that while his views have not changed, that he won't reopen the abortion debate if he is prime minister. Do you think that will be enough to satisfy those who are concerned about that issue resurfacing, especially after what's happened recently in Alabama in the United States?
Well, certainly the actions of a couple of U.S. states in severely restricting abortion rights has had a spillover effect in Canada, because we see the news here every day. And I think it's pretty clear there's been an uptick in militancy and in awareness, shall we say, of the women's rights side and the pro-choice side, saying, look, this, we have to be vigilant, because this is how easily these types of rights can be turned back. And the fact, it is a fact, that there are large numbers of conservative MPs who support restricting, if not banning outright, abortion. And, you know, this is the needle that Stephen Harper successfully threaded when he was prime minister, that the sense was that he personally didn't favor abortion rights and was not pro-choice. But yet at the same time, he managed to stifle the debate within his own party and keep it bubbling below the surface. Scheer is a much more open sort of, you know, fundamentalist or
social conservative.
Yeah, Christian conservative. And so he self-identifies as that. And so no doubt the people who are concerned about the safety of abortion rights in Canada are going to be watching, you know, him. So it's really a fine sort of edge that a conservative party leader has to walk in this country, because he doesn't have the broad support to change abortion, to install an abortion law, or to change the regime around abortion. He can't sustain that in the Canadian public, although there is a constituency that would look favorably on that. So he has to keep that on the local level, I think.
Yeah, and you wonder to what extent we'll be talking about it in September and October. Is it going to be part of the Liberal messaging to give people pause about voting for Andrew Scheer? Will he have to be defending this, or will he put the issue to rest before that's the case?
The Liberals are going to be talking about it. The NDP is going to be talking about it. They may not be, you know, part of a keynote speech by Justin Trudeau or Jagmeet Singh, but they will be talking about it at the door when they're out door knocking, and at, you know, face-to-face meetings with voters. They're going to remind people, you know, how much the country went through in the past dealing with this issue and what it means to women. And, you know, if we are talking about it during the election campaign, Mark, that means that the Liberals and the NDP and the progressive side are winning that discussion. If it's not part of the agenda, then the Conservatives will have been successful in stymieing that kind of talk. But it's a super emotional issue, as we all know, and it's not something that's just going to go away with a simple statement or press release from Scheer's office. He's going to at some point have to really lay it on the line and say what he feels. But it's a tough spot for him to be in, especially given what we believe to be his own personal convictions.
All right, let's talk briefly about Mike Pence as we wrap up. The U.S. vice president will be in Ottawa next week, and Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland recently praised him for being somebody who has gone to bat for Canada on the trade deal with the United States and Mexico. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when Mike Pence is here. And of course, it raises the question, why hasn't Donald Trump made a similar visit to this country since he became president?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm sure Ottawa will extend every diplomatic courtesy to Vice President Pence, who is regarded, I think, in Canada as an utter scoundrel, much like his boss, but as a less toxic version, shall we say, of Trumpism. Pence has been supportive of the North American free trade reform, shall we call it. And I think Chrystia Freeland is super aware of that because she's been the person charged with going out and making allies and friends and trying to move this thing along. But Pence doesn't have to come to Ottawa to encourage Canada to get this deal settled. I mean, you know, it's in the country's interest to kind of put this behind us and move on. I don't think it's in President Trump's interest, however, and there's major, major opposition among the Democrats in the Congress. So the new improved, if that's what it is, the new NAFTA or USMCA or whatever you want to call it, is far from being ratified. It won't be a problem in Canada. I don't think it'll be a problem in Mexico either. The problems are back home in Washington. And as to President Trump coming to Canada, I don't think very many people would be devastated at the news that he isn't coming to see us. I think we'd all be perfectly cool with that.
All right, Dan, great to have your comments on all these topics. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Okay, Mark, thanks for the call.
That's Dan Legere, author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald.
With the full lift of the steel and aluminum tariffs, the last major barrier against ratification has been taken away on both sides because it was also a barrier to the American ratification process. Now we're going to be able to coordinate with the United States and move forward towards ratifying this deal that is a good deal for Canadians, for workers, for businesses on both sides of the border.
Now, here's a look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Toronto Star, Susan Delacourt argues the new NAFTA deal faces an uncertain path through Parliament and the Senate. Delacourt writes, though Chrystia Freeland said it was full steam ahead after the U.S. lifted steel and aluminum tariffs last week, it's not at all clear that the legislation can be passed before the end of June. Summer sittings in the Commons or the Senate are still a distinct possibility, which would put a real dent in the summer barbecue circuit for all those MPs looking to get re-elected this fall. In an editorial, the Globe and Mail argues that while online hate is a real threat, so is government censorship. The Globe writes, that threat of hatred spread online is new and very real. But at the same time, there remains the threat of government overreach, with the state using its power to censor speech it deems unacceptable or false. That is the conundrum that Canada and the entire democratic world is struggling with and has yet to resolve. The problems are clear and the intentions are good, but the choices remain murky. At CTV.ca, Don Martin argues the leadership of Jonathan Vance, the chief of the defense staff, is no longer worth saluting. Martin writes, General Vance's operation to eradicate sexual misconduct in the forces has resulted in non-achievement. Now, the invitation-only dedication of the Kandahar Memorial is a major black mark on his record. If Vance can't deliver and dedicate a proper memorial to the Kandahar dead, it's got to red flag concerns about how he leads on live military matters. That may explain whispers that he'll soon be replaced. Now, let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. Transport Minister Marc Garneau will be at Toronto's Pearson International Airport this morning for an announcement of great interest to travelers, the unveiling of Canada's Air Passenger Protection Regulations. CPAC's Martin Stringer has more on that.
Mark, this announcement with Minister Garneau and the head of the Canadian Transportation Agency is to release the final, much-awaited details of the Air Passenger Protection Act. One of the last details to be ironed out was the level of compensation to Canadian air travelers for being delayed on the tarmac. These regulations come after the Canadian Transportation Agency last month ordered Air Transat to pay more than $600,000 in compensation to passengers because of delays and other inconveniences. The Air Passenger Protection Act calls for clearer communication about flight delays, and it spells out compensation for lost or damaged luggage, denial of boarding because of overbooking, and for certain types of delays, excluding, of course, inclement weather. Mark, Minister Garneau will be making the announcement at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and many Canadian air travelers will be paying close attention to the final details of the regulations.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, the Prime Minister will meet with employees of Algoma Steel. Later, in Antigonish, he will meet with Nova Scotia Premier Stephen McNeill. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer will speak in Vancouver about his vision for the economy. Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland will meet with steel executives in Toronto to discuss the elimination of tariffs on steel and aluminum and the new free trade deal with the United States and Mexico. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau will make an announcement in Saint-Hyacinthe, Quebec, followed by a tour at the Faculty of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Montreal. Minister of National Revenue Diane Leboutillier will make an announcement in Chandler, Quebec. Fisheries Minister Jonathan Wilkinson will be in Burnaby, British Columbia, to deliver a speech and take part in a Q&A session at the BC Chamber of Commerce Annual General Meeting Luncheon. Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale will attend an infrastructure event in Saskatoon. Public Services Minister Carla Qualtro will attend an event in Surrey, British Columbia. Minister of Natural Resources Amarjeet Sohi will attend an infrastructure event in Edmonton. Minister of Science Kirsty Duncan will visit Dalhousie University in Halifax. And in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Justice Minister David Lametti will make an announcement about research projects to reduce carbon emissions. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Friday, May the 24th. Tune into Primetime Politics Weekend on CPAC for coverage of all the week's events. Our podcast returns Monday morning. Have a great weekend.